Benedict says that when it comes to sick children, the focus of all medical activity must always be the authentic good of the child as a human being with full rights. The Pope said children must always be cared for with love to help them face suffering and sickness in a way appropriate to their situation. His remarks came in an address to participants at the end of a recent conference in the Vatican entitled Pastoral Care in the Treatment of Sick Children. Organised by the Pontifical Council for Healthcare, the conference looked at the origins and cause of childhood diseases and reflected on what Scripture and the other religious traditions have to say about this problem. The participants also discussed a call to action, examining how the Church can provide more effective pastoral care to children in need. Among those attending the conference was Sister Pat O'Donovan, Director of Clinical Pastoral Education at St. Vincent's University Hospital in Dublin, Ireland. She has first-hand experience of counselling sick children and adults, and she says caring for sick kids requires great compassion and special skills.
Well, the child patient is very different from the adult patient, really. The child patient comes to the sickness with a certain innocence and a certain lack of experience that the adult does have around sickness and suffering. So this is new for the child, and the child in some way faces the suffering with a certain freshness, which is different to the way that the parents face it. And the child draws on a lot of resources that it has in the face of sickness, and actually can mature very quickly with sickness and with suffering. And I think that children really get a better understanding of maybe the meaning of suffering when it comes to them early, and have a greater openness to it.
But are there some, nonetheless, children who are perhaps a bit more difficult, who perhaps kick against the traces and say, why me? Why am I suffering when all my friends are healthy and running about and playing?
Yes, indeed there are lots of children who kick against it as well, and who wonder why it happens to them. Lots of time it is because they hear other people saying that, but it comes from themselves as well. And these children need to be accompanied with great skill and great compassion and great care. And they need to be listened to, and they need to have a place where they can put out their feelings and talk about them, and talk about their feelings about life, what has happened to them, their feelings about God, because the picture of the caring God that they got as a little child may be dimming for them now, and they're looking to understand what is happening between them and God, and an assurance that God still loves them and holds them and is carrying them, and that actually God is with them in their sickness and actually feeling the pain with them. But it does take skill, and it does take special approach. The people working with children, particularly as chaplains, have to understand the child psychology, you have to have an understanding of how children look at things, how they grow, how they develop, what the influences are on them, and be able to address all of those with a sick child.
It must be very emotionally draining, though, for all the people involved, the parents who must be distraught, particularly if it's a very serious or terminal illness, even the medical staff, because it's so much more difficult to come to terms with perhaps, the premature ending of a young life, rather than if it were, somebody who was reaching the end of their life anyhow, their natural life cycle. This must be incredibly emotionally draining.
Yes, it is very draining to work with sick children, especially with terminally ill children, because there's a certain sadness in seeing that this child has never had a chance to live or to become, to grow into adulthood like other children, and to be the pride and joy of parents and all of that. So it's very, very difficult just to watch that. There's a sadness in it. And it's very difficult also to be with heartbroken parents who have to come to terms with the fact that their child is very sick or terminally ill, or that they will lose the child. So parents need a lot of accompaniment in the case of a child that's terminally ill or seriously ill, and again need to be walked with as they journey with their child to the gate of eternity, really. The danger is sometimes that we can get too concerned about the parents because we know how to relate to the parents, and the child can be left at the side. So it's very, very important that there are people there to talk to the child and walk with the child as well as walking with the parents. So it's very, very draining.
And of course, this must, for people who've got a faith, then obviously that can provide a comfort in these very difficult times. But for those who don't have a faith, is it noticeably more difficult for them to come to terms with this situation, be it the parent or the child?
Well, definitely people who do have a faith, even though they struggle with their faith at this particular time, they are able to find a meaning and they do get comfort from their faith. With people who don't have a faith, you know, they get comfort from friends and they get comfort from society, but it's much more difficult for them to find meaning, particularly if they don't have a faith that believes in an afterlife or that believes that they will be reunited with their child. I think the great thing about those of us who are Christian is that we believe in resurrection. We know we will be united. And those who don't have that faith, there is a loss there. And the struggle is more difficult. And the whole death and all the surround of it is much more stark than it would be for people who have a faith that they can find comfort in and find meaning in.
I'm not asking for names, of course, but have you ever come across particular cases involving a sick child, a terminally ill child in hospital, where perhaps there was no faith, but a faith was born out of this experience, either in the child or in the parent? If so, can you share that anecdote with our listeners?
Yes, I have come across this business when I was actually in the States, when I was working in a children's hospital. A child was born that had severe cerebral palsy. And she was in the hospital, I suppose, almost for a year and a half while I was working there. And the parents did not have any faith base. I think that perhaps maybe an earlier generation of the family did have a faith base, but the parents had fallen away from it. But during the course of the time, just by being with the child and by being with the parents and offering them care, they began to question why anybody would do this and began to question where I and some of the other staff were finding our meaning in all of this. And they gradually, very, very slowly, but it was over a period of about 8 months, that the parents actually began the RCIA program and had the child baptized. So it was really an extraordinary case. It was really how hope and faith was born out of love, really.
And did the child survive?
The child did survive, and she's doing quite well. She's very, very severely handicapped physically, but is very, very bright intellectually, and is doing very, very well in school, and the parents are quite involved in their parish now.
Now and again, one reads about in the media doctors who believe that when it comes to a very premature baby, a very, very tiny baby, that extraordinary efforts shouldn't be made to save that baby's life, because as they argue, that child is going to be anyhow severely handicapped for the rest of its life, and that therefore they say that nature should take its course. Is this an issue that's sometimes talked about in Ireland? Are there some doctors who subscribe to that theory?
No, actually, in Ireland, children are very precious. And there is great care, the utmost care, for children who are born prematurely. And more now children are born prematurely and are surviving. So really it's not a big issue in Ireland yet. The culture in Ireland values children and takes care of children, and children are very precious, and everything is done to save the life of the child.
That was Sister Pat O'Donovan from St. Vincent's University Hospital in Dublin. My name is